What do you have to say?
My heart cries out because everything you have said, I have seen happening while with my own eyes. Ever since I came into Islam, it has affected me. So from personal experience as well that I have stopped practicing Islam the way I did when I first started. And still now my heart is not in it. I see the Muslims abundant and I feel like walking away. But I don't know if the path I walk away to will be correct. I don't want to leave Islam. What can I do? First of all, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give this person the sabat on al-Islam, and we all should continuously ask our Lord to give us sabat, because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to us in the authentic hadith, إِنَّ قُلُوبَ الْعِبَادِ بَيْنَ أُسْبِعِي الرَّحْمَنِ يُقَلِّبُهَا كَيْفِ يَشَاءُ. Verily the hearts of the servants, all of us, are between the two fingers of Ar-Rahman, because Ar-Rahman has two fingers. He changes them however he chooses. So that's why Al-Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one of the dua that he used to make when he used to make sajda was, Allahumma ya muqallibul qulub, thabbit qalbi ala deenik. Oh Allah, the turn of the heart, establish my heart on the deen. Muslim today, kafir tomorrow. You all know the hadith of Mas'ud, Ibn Abdullah bin Mas'ud, inna ahadukum yujma'u khalqahu fi batni ummihi 40 layla. Verily one of you people, your creation is brought in the stomach of his mother 40 days. And then the whole hadith, and then at the end, the Prophet said, verily one of you will do the deeds of a man from paradise. And then what is written on him overtakes him. And then he becomes an unfair from the paradise. Then he overtakes him. And he starts doing the deeds of the people of the hellfire, and he enters into, and vice versa. So we all should ask Allah for the sabbat for this person and from ourselves. As for the advice that we give to this person who seems to be a sister, we would advise the person to get some companions who are firmly established on al-Islam. People who, when you are around them, they remind you of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. People who, when you are around them, they help you to be a better Muslim. People who are balanced and have sense in al-Islam. They don't make things too difficult upon the servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they are serious about al-Islam. Because as we said, al-tuyur ala ashkaliha taqa, birds of a feather flock together. Be with those sisters who are going to strengthen you and your iman. And never forget that the rope of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is forever present with this Qur'an. And compare your problems with the problems of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as he ordered us to do when we are faced with trials and tribulations. He grew up as an orphan. He lost his wife. He lost his children. His companions were killed. He was thrown out of Mecca. The people made jihad against him. His own people called him a liar, a magician, a poet. And on and on and on. Compare your situation to your situation, and it should do nothing but give you more iman and more strength. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help that sister or the writer of the question by giving them the yaqeen in this life and entering them into Jannah. What do you say to someone who is harsh to his wife, good to the brothers, and says, that's how I have always been in Jahiliyyah? We say, listen to the talk that we just gave. Inshallah, it should be enough for the person. There are people who want to take part of al-Islam and leave other parts of al-Islam, like jihad. What do you say about the people who want to leave al-jihad and want to focus upon other aspects of al-Islam that may be of a lesser degree? Concerning al-jihad, fi sabilillah, anyone who reads this Quran, he cannot reject or deny the fact that al-jihad is extremely important. How can he deny that? How can a Muslim read the Quran when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, وَقَاتِلُوهُمْ حَتَّى لَا تَكُنْ فِتْنَةً وَيَكُنِ الدِّينُ كُلُّهُ لِلَّهِ? How can you read that ayah? How can you reject jihad when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, وَأَعِدُّوا لَهُمْ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُ مِنْ قُوَّةٍ وَمِنْ رِبَاطِ الْخَيْلِ تُرْحِبُونَ بِهِ عَدُوَ اللَّهِ وَعَدُوَّكُمْ? How can you reject that? How can you reject al-jihad, ya Abdullah, ya akhi? How? How? When you read where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, ma lakum idha qila lakum infiru fi sabilillahi saqaltum min al-ard, araditum bil hayati dunya min al-akhirah. فَمَا مَتَعُ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا فِي الْآخِرَةِ إِلَّا قَلِيلٍ إِلَّا تَنْفِرُوا يُعَذِّبُكُمْ عَذَابًا أَلِيمًا وَيَسْتَبْدِلْ قَوْمًا غَيْرَكُمْ وَلَنْ تُضُرُّوهُ شَيْئًا. How? How? How can a person read this Qur'an when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Qur'an, subhanallah, قُلْ إِنْ كَانَ آبَاؤُكُمْ وَأَبْنَاؤُكُمْ وَإِخْوَانُكُمْ وَأَزْوَاجُكُمْ وَعَشِيرَتُكُمْ وَأَمْوَالٌ اقْتَرَفْتُمُوهَا وَتِجَارَةٌ تَخْشَوْنَ كَسَادَهَا وَمَسَاكِنُ تَرْضَوْنَهَا أَحَبَّ إِلَيْكُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ وَجِهَادٍ فِي سَبِيلِهِ فَتَرَبَّصُوا حَتَّى يَأْتِيَ اللَّهُ بِأَمْرِهِ. How can you read the Quran and say jihad is not important, la hawla wala quwwata illa billah? How, ikhwan, can you read the Quran after memorizing Surah Al-Saff, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in this surah, ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, hal adullukum ala tijaratin tunjikum min adabin aleem, tu'minuna billahi wa rasulihi wa tujahiduna fi sabilillahi bi amwalikum wa anfusikum, dhalikum khairu lakum in kuntum ta'lamun, yaghfir lakum dhunubakum wa yudkhilkum jannatin tajri min tahtiha al-anhar. What is hadha? لا أهل يقرأ القرآن يا أخي ويترك الجهاد. آيات upon آيات. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم told us in an authentic hadith by Imam الترمذي, إذا تبايعتم بالإينة ورديتم بالزرع وأخذتم أذناب البقر وتركتم الجهاد في سبيل الله سلط الله عليكم ظلا لن ينزعه حتى ترجعوا إلى دينكم. No one is reading this Quran properly and rejecting the importance of jihad. رأس الأمر الإسلام وعموده الصلاة وذرة السلام هي الجهاد في سبيل الله, as the Prophet told Mu'adh ibn Jabal. So I don't think that the question is we should not recognize jihad as being important. The ulama of al-Islam said that jihad was the sixth pillar of al-Islam. The sixth pillar of al-Islam is jihad. But, unfortunately, many of the people, especially the Shabab, one of the characteristics of youth is that in almost any society, the youth are going to be angry. They're going to have this anger about how things are. Without al-Islam, the youth of Britain, the youth of America, the youth of the West, they're angry. They see no hope outside of al-Islam. So all they need is a demagogue like Louis Farrakhan. All they need is someone to come along and manipulate that anger and that helplessness and take the Shabab and lead them to their slaughter like a bunch of sheep. There's no difference, ikhwan, in al-Islam. From times gone by up until now, we have manipulators, mustaghilloon. Many of these jama'at, wallahi, wallahi. You come into al-Islam after reading about al-Islam. And you come into al-Islam not to be somebody else's funky, not an Arab funky, not a Pakistani funky. You come into Islam to practice Islam to get close to Allah. But then you find all of these programs and agendas put into effect. How can you allow yourself, Akhi, to get a ring put around your nose and to be dragged to the slaughter with whichever jama'at you want to be a part of? How? What are you wasting your time for? Islam is total and complete. Islam is clear. One of the descriptions of it is clear. Clear. So we shouldn't allow ourselves to go off the middle course in any affair. Let us take all of al-Islam and let us look at our situation first. And we have to say to ourselves, me, Abu Usama, how much knowledge do I have about the basics of al-Islam? So what nerve do I have to stand out in front of the people and I'm ignorant? Wallahi, I'm ignorant. And there are those who are more ignorant than me. And you're going to have the nerve to come to a brother who Allah has blessed with halfway decent intelligence and tell him, come with me, Akhi, come with me. And I don't know what I'm talking about. So it's like the blind leading the blind in a dark room. But when it becomes clear to us that it's this or it's that, then hold on to your molars and go with it, irregardless of what people say. When it becomes clear to us based upon proof, not based upon desire. Not based upon desire. So my advice is, just like the man said, I'm not going to Saudi Arabia to the Kaaba to make Hajj because of the oppressors, you also don't reject al-jihad fi sabilillah because you don't agree with that mentality. That's going overboard. Now I'm
Fadli Ya Usama. What do you do in a situation where you're bumping the brothers in fact, and when you meet the brothers, you're trying your best to create
the fitna that's going to cause
by meeting them.
Whatever
you do,
meet
them
with fitna.
What do you do in this situation?
The Prophet told us, Al-Arwah junudun mujannada. The souls of the people are trained soldiers. They're like trained soldiers. Those of them that get along together, get along well, they'll come together. They'll meet, and you'll say, subhanAllah, as if I knew you for a long time. You hook up with your wife, and she practically knows what you're thinking before you even say it. So she gets up and she cooks that thing for you. And blessed is he. Well, that's his situation. And then there's the other hand. There's the other hand. Where you come together, every time you look at him, he looks at you as if you're an enemy to him. He looks at you as if he hates you, as if you've stepped on his toes. And he needs to ask himself to soften his heart. Why are you looking at your brother like that, Ya Akhi? I mean, what did he say to you in his lesson to cause you to look with a stone face? Why? Why? Astaghfirullah, Ya Akhi. Hey, Ikhwan, leave this nafs. The nafs is a qatila. It's going to kill you, put you in the hellfire. Innama al-mu'minuna ikhwa. The believers are brothers. If the brother made a mistake, subhanAllah, he said a long time ago, Akhi, any questions? Explain the situation. Put the brother on the Sirat al-Mustaqim. As for looking there, sitting there for an hour and a half. Allah guide you and us. So those souls that when they come together, tanakarat, they just conflict. This is your situation, Akhi, with a person, and it's possible to ta'id anhu, stay away from him so that you won't get into any further fitna. And with that, we'll only do,
the question, can I be related to the topic, inshallah?
Now they can ask what they want to ask about. We went to Luton the other day. And in Luton there are a group of people who are calling these brand new young brothers to so many things. Luton. I don't know if you brothers know the fiqh al-waqih, but Luton, there's a lot of problems in Luton. There's a major Arab brother in Luton. And they come to the young brothers, Akhi, subhanAllah. Like the sister said, when we came to Islam, I used to feel my iman was real high being with my brothers, vibe and reading the Quran. Wallahi, I used to work at a place when I became a Muslim. It was a place that was bad for you because this asbestos was getting in our chest. I used to come home dirty and tired, take a shower, sit at the kitchen table in my mother's house, and read Yusuf Ali and cry. That was at the beginning of Islam. Yusuf Ali, reading the stuff at the bottom too, crying. That's how our Islam was. Now you come into Islam and these people giving us all these problems. Akhi, leave Islam simple for us, let us be brothers. Don't bring us the politics of the Arabs and the non-Arabs. We want to know Islam. We want to take Islam and make a point with it. Change our parents' condition, the condition of the people we went to school with. So we went to Luton. With who? We went to Luton with Ali Hassan al-Halabi. This name, again, when people hear it, they get this thing inside of them. Ali Hassan al-Halabi. Is it his lihya, his blood, his body, his soul, that we like so much? Nah. It's the knowledge that the man carries. And he's more than qualified to deal with the people in Luton. So we called the people and we said, look, we have a champion coming to deal with the situation. Stop messing with the young brothers, the new brothers. Here's someone who can deal with the situation. I came to the country that day. Opportunity I can't miss. So I told the Sheikh, Wallahi, it's an honor for me to go and translate for you. Walakin Sheikh, Wallahi, Watallahi, Wabillahi, Inna al-Qawm la-Jubana. They're cowards and they're not going to come. They're not going to come. Wallahi, Fiqh al-Waqih. They said, we don't understand the Fiqh al-Waqih. Wallahi, I called it. I told them they're not going to come, Sheikh. We went down there and the brothers told them, a week, Ali Hassan, come and bring your cannon. When we get there, none of them show up. And that's how it is, huh? That's how it is. Anytime someone can have the ability to deal with it, they don't come. As my young brother, subhanAllah, my wife only being a Muslim 2 years, 3 years, you're going to come to my wife and start giving her all these shubahat. Let her fear Allah. The brother get close to Allah. You got him going to sleep. Instead of saying, subhanAllah, 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 he's saying, Margaret Thatcher, Margaret Thatcher, Margaret Thatcher, Al-Khilafah, Al-Khilafah, Al-Khilafah. Now all of that is from Al-Islam. But subhanAllah, he let my brothers learn the Quran. Let my brothers learn the Quran. And some people may want to think, I want to bring a watered down version of Al-Islam. Alhamdulillah, the brothers who know me, alhamdulillah, they know that if you wanted to go back to Jahiliyyah and deal with me like that, and we ask Allah to afia, we don't want to do that. They know that's not how we are. But Islam is clear, Ya Abdullah. So you can ask the questions that you want to ask, inshallah. But the brother said it's only two more questions.
One from Dawah, inshallah, then one from Islam, and breakfast, inshallah.
Nah, he went already. Malish, Ya Dawah, Malish. But I see you all the time. I see you all the time. If there was other brothers who didn't get the opportunity other than Dawah, they should be able to do so. You agree with me, Dawah? You agree with me, Dawah? Right, go ahead.
What advice would you give to somebody who believes in Islam but they refrain from taking the Shahada because they feel that they have evil thoughts in their mind and they want to clear it?
That's from the waswas of a shaitan. No one knows for sure when they're going to die, so therefore they should try to accept the Islam as quick as possible. The person who's dealing with that person should just continuously badger them and be after them and be after them until hopefully finally they accept the Islam.
We're going to class it with the quality of that, inshallah. But inshallah, we're going to carry on after the salah. But there's a few more questions, inshallah.
Okay, after the salah, though, you can get your question back again, inshallah. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Malik yawm al-Din. Iyaka na'budu wa iyaka nasta'in. Ihdina siratal mustaqim. Siratal ladhina an'amta alayhim ghayril maghdubi alayhim waladdalin. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلوات الله وسلامه عليه أما بعد and resuming the talk or answering the questions, you know, I don't know what should we talk about or what should we make a comment about. Should we make a comment about the importance of reciting the Quran and crying in Salah, and how this was something that the Prophet ﷺ was on and his companions, and how we don't have it, how unfortunately when we do hear someone crying in the Salah it becomes a thing where it's strange, how when we try to do it ourselves there's no effect, even though the Prophet ﷺ ordered us to try to cry. Even if you're not really crying, try to cry. Just a real clear indication of how much work we really need to make and how we are really losing the point in all of the argument and discussion. Or do we talk about the oppression that's taking place against the amah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the handmaidens of Allah, our wives and our sisters, after coming to Britain? I see, unfortunately, that a lot of the oppression that takes place towards the sisters in Islam in America, as well as in the Muslim world in general, it happens here as well, where we have sisters who were born on Islam to Muslim parents. They left Islam by listening to music and even having sex in some situations. They became lewd women dressing like go-go girls. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed them to put them back on the hidayah, and then the parents throw them out
or they begin to have problems. Brothers marrying these sisters, and when the brother brings his wife to the house, the brother wants to put the proper hijab over his wife so that his brothers can't see his wife in a way that's not befitting or allowable, and the parents getting upset over that and just giving them a lot of grief. Do we talk about that? Or do we talk about how Allah has been said today and we don't really know whether or not we're going to leave this place of the people who have been given the tawfiq to work upon that which we have heard? The things of Al-Islam are so many. As the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam has told us, when he said, مَا أَمَرْتُكُمْ بِهِ فَأْتُوا مِنْهُ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ وَمَا نَهَيْتُكُمْ عَنْهُ فَانْتَهُ. What I have ordered you people to do, do as much of it as you possibly can. And what I prevented you from doing, leave it all alone. Because there's so many things to do, no one is going to be able to do everything. So the advice is always, especially for the Shabab, and we're all Shabab, to not be of the people who are mutahammis without knowledge, very emotional and very agitated with no knowledge. Agitation has its place in Al-Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told the Prophet in the Quran, Ya ayyuhan nabi, harrad al-mu'minina ala al-qital. O Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Or do we talk about how stingy the Muslims are when they hear the Prophet's name, they don't say sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Do we talk about that? Allah said in the Quran, agitate the believers for the fight. So this agitation is from Al-Islam. When the Prophet used to give sallallahu alayhi wa sallam his khutbah, his voice used to raise up and his eyes used to bulge out as if he was warning the people of a pending army. But the agitation had to be the type of agitation that's coupled with al-ilm al-nafi', knowledge, real knowledge, so that we can get some reward out of the agitation. A brother asked me a question, and I told him we would deal with that question first, and he was asking concerning loving your brother. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those people who love one another for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. Because as you all know, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us, سَبْعَةٌ يُذِلُّهُمُ اللَّهُ فِي ذِلِّهِ يَوْمَ لَا ذِلَّ إِلَّا ذِلُّهُ. There will be seven people who Allah will shade in his shade on the day that there will be no shade. From the people that he mentioned, رَجُلًا تَحَبَّا فِي اللَّهِ اجْتَمَعَ عَلَيْهِ وَتَفَرَّقَ عَلَيْهِ. Two men who loved one another for Allah only. They came together on that love and they parted on that love. So when the human beings are standing there, يوم القيامة, some in sweat up into their knees, to their ankles, to their hips, some to their neck, some totally submersed in water and sweat because of the close proximity of the sun and their deeds, two of the people who will get this shade will be those two people. Wa alaykum salam wa Allah. Those two people who love one another in Allah, for Allah alone. He asked me, what do you advise for me in terms of loving this person? Because you can love a person so much that love goes over bound, out of bound. You know, and then one day when it comes that you may be forced to hate him or something of this effect. First of all, ikhwan, we draw your attention to the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam, when he said, لو كنت متخذا خليلا لاتخذت أبا بكر خليلا ولكن أخي وصاحبي. He said, if I was to take a khalil, I would have taken Abu Bakr as my khalil, but Abu Bakr is my brother and my companion. Many of the ulama have explained to us, and this shows us the importance of the Arabic language, because it helps you to come to understandings that are proper, right, and exact. They say that the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't take Abu Bakr as a khalil is because this word khalil is the person who your heart totally is submersed in the love for that person. That person's, the love that you have for him, it is totally in your heart and it's only for that person. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam doesn't love anyone like that except who? Rabbil Alameen. So Abu Bakr therefore is his akh and his companion. Also concerning this love, the Prophet told us sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, do not love your friend the total love, because it may be that one day he may become your enemy. And do not hate your enemy, the total hate, because it may come one day that he may become your friend. This again is one of those texts from the Quran that show us the importance of staying balanced in our affairs, all of them. This is one of those clear texts that is telling us to stay balanced in our affairs, all of them, so that we do not compromise in our deen. When we read the Quran from Surah Al-Fatiha all the way to Surah Al-Nas, the message of Al-Wasatiyah comes across crystal clear. Guide us to the straight path, not the ones who you're angry with and not the ones who go astray, the Jews and the Christians, in the middle course. And in terms of this love, let us make it clear, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Surah Al-Qaf, when he says, يَوْمَ نَقُولُ لِجَهَنَّمْ The day that we say to the hellfire, are you filled up to your capacity? And she will reply by saying, do you have any more? If you have any more of those human beings, there's some more room for them. One of the things that we benefit from this ayat is that, as you all know, this hellfire, like everything else, is a servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And she has an ardent desire to fear Allah and to worship Allah, even at the expense of hurting other people. If her loving Allah and obeying Allah entails that she has to hurt other people, she does it willingly and happily. Just like jihad. To kill kuffar with the proper jihad is harmful and it's a hurt to the kuffar. But the believer is a person who's willing to do that, just like the hellfire. Unlike the people of today, the Muslims, who compromise their religion. We work at jobs that don't allow us to pray, that don't allow us to make salah, that don't allow us to go to Jummah. So the Muslim, he works at the job for 15, 20, 30 years. After 5 pulled muscles, 3 slit discs, he retires and they give him a gold-plated watermelon and he retires. And he missed salah all of his life. They tell him, you can't come here with a beard, you can't come here dressed like this, and he compromises his Islam. Or the sister comes to Al-Islam, whether she's an Asian sister, she comes on the Quran and the Sunnah, or she was a Catholic, she came to Al-Islam. And her parents and her relatives are hard on her. She doesn't care. She doesn't compromise her Islam for anybody. We have, unfortunately, people who come into Islam and they have a partner still in Jahiliyyah. And they refuse to come into Islam, as the brother said, because they don't want to hurt the feelings of their partner who's in Jahiliyyah. Nah. Ma hakada ya Abdullah. The Muslim is the one who wants to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. So that love should be defined by the dictates of Al-Islam. And in talking about that love, Ikhwan, before taking this next question, let me just say, when we read the Quran and the Sunnah, we find that the message that Allah deals with the most in the Quran, of course, is the message of Al-Aqidah and Al-Tawheed. After that, in terms of issues, the issue that is dealt with the most after that is the issue of Al-Wala wal-Bara, allegiance to the believers and hatred and enmity towards the disbelievers. Or Al-Bara, hatred and enmity towards the people according to their level of Islam. If a person is far away from what real Islam is, but he's still a Muslim, we love him more than we love the Catholic. But we don't love him like the person who is trying to practice Islam the way Islam was brought, as understood by the companion. That love has more right to be given to the ulama of Islam. If I've been ordered to give love to you brothers and allegiance to you brothers, and we're regular brothers, for lack of a better term, every Muslim is important. And every Muslim, inshallah, is mahbub ladayna. But for lack of a better term, we're regular brothers. The ulama of Islam have more right for our wala. If you want a measurement, a Richter scale, where you can judge a person's deviance and his birth and in Islam being away, just listen to what he's saying about the scholars of Islam, past and present. You don't have to look far. Just listen what he says. And again, make it clear. It's not the lihya of the scholar, or the blood of the scholar, or the soul of the scholar, or where he comes from. But what it is the knowledge of the scholar. The Anbiya do not leave dirham. They do not leave any type of money, but they leave knowledge. And the ones who have taken that knowledge have taken a great portion. And the ones who took it were the ulama. So they are the warathatul anbiya. So now, Ya Abdullah, you were just born yesterday in al-Islam. And you still don't know Ayatul Kursi. And you still don't know Dua Salatul Istikhara. And you still haven't mastered the recitation of Suratul Fatiha. You know nothing about al-Islam. And when I say you haven't recited, we say even in that is good. As the Prophet ﷺ said, الَّذِي يَقْرَى الْقُرْآنَ وَهُوَ مَاهِرٌ بِهِ مَا الْبَرَ الْمَالِ السَّفْرَةِ الْكِرَامِ الْبَرَرَ وَالَّذِي يَقْرَى الْقُرْآنَ وَهُوَ يَتَتَعْتَعُ فِيهِ وَهُوَ عَلَيْهِ شَاقٍ فَلَهُ أَجْرًا. Whoever reads the Qur'an, he's a master, an expert in reading it, he will be with the angels Yawm al-Qiyamah. The one who reads it and he stutters because he can't read it properly and it's difficult upon him, he will get a double reward. So it's good. But what we're saying is, look at yourself, Ya Abdullah. You know nothing about al-Islam and you have the nerve to start talking about the scholars of al-Islam. They have this saying in Arabic. They say, إِنْ أَرَدْتَ أَنْ تُعْرَفْ فَبُلْ فِي زَمْزَمْ. If you want to become well known, piss in the Zamzam well. No one knows you. All you have to do is go to Mecca, urinate in the Zamzam well, and when you walk through the streets of Mecca, everyone is saying, oh, that's the brother who urinated in the Zamzam well. That's the brother who wants to talk about the scholar so-and-so. He was nobody yesterday. He was nobody, no one. But after he tried to urinate on the dawah, or he tried to urinate on this scholar, the people know him as the one who tried to unveil this thing or that thing. So Ikhwan always saying to you brothers is, the job is big, the bodies are few, the people who are going to do the job are few, and the sirat, the tariq is far, the darb is tough, is very, very far, and the ways to go off are many. Mada antum fa'ilun, what are you people going to do? What are you brothers, young brothers are going to do? We have all this youth, all this power, alhamdulillah, all of this intellect, all of these resources. Can you imagine if the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam started off the dawah with what we have here in terms of our money and our resources? So we say to you brothers, let us get back focused to do the right thing. So in answering the question, akhi, it's all about being balanced in our love, in our hate, in our ibadah, in all of our things. How do you stick to the sunnah through the period of relaxation after enthusiasm? Ali Hassan al-Halabi wrote a hadith, a book called 40 Hadith of the Dua, the Callers and the Call, and he brings this hadith in which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that every single deed has a time of activity and every single deed has a time of inactivity, relaxation. So whosoever time of inactivity is according to my sunnah is guided and on the right course. Basically what the meaning of the hadith is saying is that the believer is a person who his iman is up and it down, it goes down. It goes up according to his ta'ah or fearing Allah and worshiping Allah and being obedient to Allah, and it goes down accordingly when he gets away from obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the brother who comes to the masjid and he memorizes 3 or 4 ayat every morning after Salat al-Fajr, you find him leaving the masjid and his iman is up and he's feeling good. And after he finally memorized the surah that he was trying to memorize, his iman goes up even more. And on, and all of the deeds are like that. Then there comes that time when he doesn't want to memorize, when he doesn't want to do any nafil, when he doesn't want to do anything except what's wajib upon him. At that time, the brother is ordered and encouraged by this hadith to just remain on al-Islam and not to leave his religion. And not to come up with these crazy interpretations that come from the talbis of Iblis. As Abu Sarj, Abdul Rahman ibn Jawzi has talked about this in his book Talbis Iblis. Where the person, because of his low iman, he decides not to do anything. Nah, ma hakana. But what you do is, even at that time of relaxation, you still try to do what Islam has made wajib upon you and wait for the time of the activity to come back around, keeping in mind that you have to be in a continuous effort to speed up that time, that you try to make that time come on your own. The brother gave me a question. He said, if a person is in possession of a hat at the time of salah, yet he refuses to wear it because it is bid'ah or is not important, what do you advise the brother? Concerning the wearing of a hat at the time of salah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us in the authentic hadith, as in Abu Dawood, إِنَّ اللَّهَ أَحَقُّ أَن يُتَزَيِّنَ لَهُ. Verily Allah has more right that you beautify yourselves for Him. Allah has more right that you beautify yourselves for Him. There was a time when the Muslim, if he went with his head uncovered, exposed, this was a ta'an in his muru'ah. I see some of the Arab brothers who are here. Their grandfathers and great-grandfathers, even if they weren't ulama and didn't have a lot of knowledge, but their fitrah was salima, especially in the Arab countries where their isti'mar, you know, that colonization wasn't that much. You'll find that they were people who didn't come out with their heads exposed, but now the situation has changed. So back then, this hadith could have been used as a proof that a man should cover his head because of the urf of the people. That good dress is a man coming with his head covered and on and on and on. So Allah has more right that you dress like that. But today, the urf of the people is not like that. You can argue that's good or bad. But the point is, for someone to say that you have to cover your head up for salah, and this is a good thing in Islam, or not a good thing, he will have to bring the proof. And I know no proof whatsoever that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that you had to cover your hair and the salat. If you didn't, you were asking, you were sinning. As for the people who want to use as a proof that you have to, that you can expose your head, that the Prophet took off his turban and threw it in front of him to make a sutra, this is not an authentic hadith. But we have to encourage the brothers to hold on to their Islamic identity as much as possible. As much as possible. And if you're not going to wear a thobe, which we don't believe is wajib, then when you become mutabansal, if you want to be Abu Bansalon, we don't say that that's haram. Tatabansal ya Abdullah, malish. But don't be musbil. Don't have your, you know, pants below your ankle bone. Haram. Don't say hadith Abu Bakr. Haram. Don't wear the bantalon where the contours of your body is being exposed. Or when you make sajda, parts of your aura become exposed from the back. Even the bantalon should be wide. And when we look at our Muslim brothers all over the world, in Turkey, they wear bantalons, but the Islamic version. In Africa, they wear bantalon, but the Islamic version. So all the time, ikhwan, as Ibn Taymiyyah wrote in his book, Iqtida siratul mustaqim fi mukhalifa ashab al-jain, being different from the kuffar, he wrote a nice piece about how the maghloob will always follow the ghalib. The one who is down, you know, the victor comes, he comes and he puts someone down. When he gets off of him, this one who is defeated will always follow the victor. He will always follow him. So now, unfortunately, here in this country, we have freedom of expression, freedom of religion. Knowing that they come and they try to make problems, غير مباشر, they don't do like they do in some of the Muslim countries, or almost all of the Muslim countries, where you can't come with this type of sitting at all. So here we can express ourselves. The other day I saw a debate between two homosexuals who were debating the right that they had to get married and have that marriage recognized by the state. And they sat at the panel and they talked a lot of rhetoric. They were very educated and they had quwwat al-shakhsiyyat, and they were really, their personalities were strong. If that man has the nerve to try to push for that, why doesn't the Muslim also have also enough iman to say, I have more rights. So I know of no hadith whatsoever that says that the brother has to wear or cover his head.
Question from the floor, inshallah.
Inshallah. My deen and my husband's deen is suffering badly because other Muslims' laziness. My husband wants to go to Saudi to gain knowledge. I want him to go. What does he do and who does he contact? And please again express about Fajr and leaving to after sunset, sunrise. Concerning the issue of their deen being affected by other people, we always remind the brothers and the sisters not to be of the people who always want to point fingers at other people, but we encourage the people to look at themselves, because this is the way of the mu'min. He is critical of himself. And he doesn't blame the West. He doesn't blame the white man. He doesn't blame other people. He doesn't blame democracy. He doesn't blame, even though that may have a part in the problem. But the Muslim blames himself. The Ummah of Muhammad should blame itself, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَمَا أَصَابَتْكُمْ مِنْ مُصِيبَةٍ إِلَّا إِيش؟ Huh? إِلَّا مَكْتَسَبَتْ أَيْدِيكُمْ. No fitna, no musibah, no catastrophe befalls you except from what your hands have received, what you perform. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, as we said before, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا عَلَيْكُمْ أَنفُسَكُمْ لَا يُضُرُّكُمْ مَنْ ضَلُّوا إِذَا اهْتَدَيْتُمْ. Oh, you who believe, you're responsible for your own soul. It doesn't harm you, those who go astray, if you got it all right. If those people are lazy, you don't be lazy. What are you talking about? They're lazy, so I'm getting affected. But it may be that the person comes into al-Islam and they're looking at their brothers and their sisters hoping for some nutrition, some food, teach me, help me. And because of our laziness, because of our this confusion, we prevent the person from getting any benefit. This is possible. If this is the case, ikhwan, know that these people have rights over you, connected to your necks. We have to give them their rights. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help this community. As for going to Saudi Arabia to study, the sister needs to get in touch with Sheikh Ibrahim. He could explain all of that situation. He could explain that situation to us. I was asked by a friend who was a non-Muslim but believes in Islam, where was the first person placed in this world, i.e. which country? Also, Adam and Eve were the first people on earth. Did their children marry each other? Concerning where were the first people placed at, there's no authentic hadith coming to us telling us where the first people were. And for the Muslim to go after these questions, he runs the risk of going astray. Those are the issues that we have been encouraged not to look after, not to go after, and not to waste a lot of time about. Your knowledge of it does not, your ignorance of it does not harm you in one bit, inshallah ta'ala. And this is one of the clear stories that we get from the story of the people of the cave in Surah Al-Kahf. When they said they were four people, the dog made five. They were five people, the dog made six. They were six people, the dog made seven. And they were just, you know, making, guessing about the unseen. Whether he was four, five, six, or seven, it doesn't make a difference. The point is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the ability to give you life and death. The important thing is that if you believe in al-Islam, you're going to be persecuted, that you may have to make hijrah. Hijra was something that was during the time of the people of the past, like it is today, like it's going to be tomorrow, inshallah.
The important thing is, as long as you hold on to al-Islam, you are from the family of the mustaqeen. Those are the issues that we benefit. As for sitting there worrying about, like these people ask you, what are the first four things that are going to be in the paradise? The staff of Musa, the bird, the Hudhud bird of Sulaiman, the ant with Sulaiman. That's what are you wasting my time for? Why would the Hudhud bird be in paradise? I mean, what are you wasting our time for? So we don't go after these types of questions as Muslims. As for Adam and Hawa, our mother and our father, رضي الله تعالى عنهما وعليهم الصلاة والسلام, their children marrying one another, I've read in Ibn Kathir and in other places that they were allowed to marry one another. The tafsir of the ayah in Surah Ali Imran, when, or Surah Ma'ida, when Adam's son slayed his brother, Ibn Kathir explains that they were allowed to marry. The reason why the brother killed, the reason why Cain killed Abel, was because every time Eve gave birth to a child, she carried twins. And in their legislation and in their Sharia, it was permissible for them to marry their brothers and sisters, but you can only marry the one who wasn't from your same womb, the one who shared the womb of the other one. Meaning, Cain marries Abel's sister who was in the womb with him, and vice versa. I don't remember the authenticity of the hadith. It seems to be authentic. I kind of lean towards that. But because it's our aqidah, we're going to leave that off for some further investigation. If anyone comes up with that, they can explain it to the brother.
Any questions from the floor, inshallah?
Concerning the Quran and speaking while it's being played, the question is, can you talk while the Quran is being played, while you're hearing the Quran being read or being played? In the hadith, the man who made a lot of mistakes in his salat when he came and he prayed real fast, three times the Prophet told him, go back and pray again if you haven't prayed. This is a very important hadith in terms of telling us what's wajib in the salat and what's not wajib. It's a very important hadith in terms of the fiqh of salat. Anyway, the Prophet said in this hadith and in other hadith, he said, إِذَا قُمْتَ إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ فَاغْسِلِ الْوُضُوءِ ثُمَّ اسْتَقْبَلِ الْقِبْلَةِ ثُمَّ كَبِّرِ اللَّهِ ثُمَّ اقْرَأْ مَا تَيَسَّرَ لَكَ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ. No, this is not the one. The other hadith where the Prophet told the Muslims, إِنَّمَا جُئِلَ الْإِمَامِ إِذَا أَمَّنَ الْإِمَامُ فَأَمِّنُوا فَإِنَّمَا that's not the one either. Now, that's the hadith. The Prophet ﷺ said in the hadith to the believers in telling us how to pray, إِذَا قُمْتُمْ إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ فَاغْسِلُوا الْوُضُوءَ وَإِذَا قَرَى الْإِمَامُ فَانْصِتُوا. If you stand up for the salat, make the good wudu, as Allah ordered in the Quran. كَمَا أَمْرَكُمُ اللَّهُ فِي الْقُرْآنِ. That's what he said. And then if the imam recites, then be quiet. He ordered us to be quiet. Also, the Quran is said in the Quran, وَإِذَا قُرِيَ الْقُرْآنِ فَاسْتَمِعُوا لَهُ. If the Quran is read, then be quiet. But when you are in the place where the Quran is being played, you're not forced to sit down and listen to the Quran. And you're not forced to be quiet as such, because the Quran is being played. But if you can respect the Quran by being away and carrying on your business, this is permissible. The son of Abu Dawood, his name is Abdullah ibn Abi Dawood. He has a book called Al-Masahif. Everything you need to know about the Quran. Everything you need about, can you sell it? What happens when it gets messed up? Should you bury it? Should you burn it? Everything concerning the Quran. Should it be put on the floor? And on and on and on. Can you read it in Ramadan? And on and on and on. He has a chapter in there about, can you talk while the Quran is being played? And he brings some asar, some examples of the Sahabas as well as the Tabi'een in which this issue was discussed and it was allowed to be done by them. Jazakallahu khaira, brother Abu Usama, for your intriguing and very beneficial talk. What I would like to know is, during your talk you mentioned that cutting the beard is among the major sins. Could you please give reference and proof for your statement?
There are many proofs
to show that cutting the beard or shaving the beard is from the major sins. Many proofs. First of all, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us, La'an Allah al-wasila wal-mustawsila wal-ramisha wal-mustawshima wal-mutanammisat al-mughayyirat li-khalqillah. Allah has cursed the wasila, the woman who puts hair on her head, or the one who has it done. The one who has it done or the one who does it. So weeds, Ya Abdullah, haram. Those wigs are haram. Allah has cursed this woman. And Allah has cursed the woman who tattoos herself. And Allah has cursed the woman who has chipped her teeth. These are the mughayyirat khalq Allah, the ones who have changed Allah's creation. And another ayah, hadith, the Prophet ﷺ mentioned, as we said, the mutanammisat. The mutanammis is the woman who takes this eyebrow and she plucks it to make it skinny, as many of the Arab women do, and many of the Asian women do. They take this eyebrow, this hair, and they pluck it and they make it real skinny and call it beautiful. Or she disconnects the hair here. It comes here, so they disconnect it. The Prophet ﷺ explained to us the reason why they're cursed. He said, Al-Mughayyirat lil-Husn. They changed the creation of Allah. So I ask you, Ya Akhi Billahi Alayk, if the woman was cursed for taking this piece of hair off, what about the man who chops off his whole beard? He has more rights. He has more rights to be cursed. That's one reason. They changed the creation of Allah as Shaitan promised that he would make them do. That's one. Number two, the Prophet ﷺ said, لَعَنَ اللَّهُ الْمُتَشَبِّهِينَ بِالرِّجَالِ الْمُتَشَبِّهِينَ بِالنِّسَاءِ وَمُتَشَبِّهَةٍ بِالرِّجَالِ. Allah has cursed the men who imitate the women and the women who imitate the men. Allah has created these men to be people who have this lihya. And so many hadith, ikhwan, of the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ show us you can't cut your lihya. No more than 15 hadith where the Prophet ﷺ said, أَطْذِقُ الْلِحَى. Lead your beard, let it grow. أَرْخُ الْلِحَى. Let your beard flow. أَرْجُ الْلِحَى. Let your beard go down. The Prophet ﷺ said, أَكْرِمُ الْلِحَى. Honor your beard. The man came to the Prophet ﷺ from over there, Majus, and he had his mustache like handlebars and no lihya. So the Prophet ﷺ said, Man amaraka bihada? Who ordered you to do that? The man said, Rabbi, amarini bihada, my Lord, Kisra. The Prophet ﷺ turned away from him. And then he said, Wa Rabbi amarani bihada, and my Lord ordered me to do this. And the Prophet said, Khaliful Yahud wal Majus, utrikul liha. Be different from them Jews and those Majus, and leave your beard. So many hadith. So he changes the creation of Allah. He resembles the woman. Number three, he is following the tashbih of the Yahud and the Majus. Major sin. Major sin. And Imam Ahmed rahimahullah ta'ala, in his book Masail Imam Ahmed, that was written by Abu Dawood, the Imam Abu Dawood from the Sunan, he asked him about it. He said that the cutting of the beard, halquha mubika min al mubiqat wa kabira min al kabair. Cutting it is from the things that will destroy you.
You know, there are things that the Prophet said, اجتنبوا سبع الموبقات, stay away from the seven things that are destroyed. الشر والسحر, anyone else. He said it's from the things that will destroy you, and it's from the major sins. From the major sins. Our mother Aisha, when she used to want to swear by Allah, you know how we say, Wallahi, wa Rabbi al-Kaaba, Sallahi. She used to say, وَالَّذِي زَيِّنَ الرِّجَالِ بِالْلِحَى, I swear by the one who beautified the men with their beard. That was her way of swearing by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So now, ikhwan, again, the ghalib will always affect the maghloob. I heard one time, a brother, he told me, unfortunately, he said, he made up in the hadith, he made it up. He said, the Prophet said there are going to come a people who grow their beard. Very, they are the munafiqeen of this ummah. So therefore I cut my beard. Ya Shaykh, yakfika innaka kunta jahil an al-hukum. Yakfika hada. Ushkut al-an. La tataqaddam. Wa la tatajarra ala Allah wa deeni. Fastaqu ala kunta ajhal al-hukum. Or the man says, say sadiq said in fiqh sunnah. Yusuf Qardawi said, inna halawa haram. Say sabiq, rahimahullahu ta'ala. That book, Fiqh al-Sunnah, is a very important book of Fiqh al-Muqarin. If you want to know the fiqh without being on one madhab, you want to, it's a very good book. Yusuf Qardawi is a knowledgeable person. Walakin, if anyone goes against what the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we reject it. We reject it. So as a proof, don't say to us, Fiqh al-Sunnah. Don't say to us, the halawa haram. But leave your lihya, ya Abdullah, and know that in al-Islam, there is a diya for cutting a man's lihya. You know, if you knock a man's tooth out, you break his nose, you bust his head, you break his finger, there's a diya, blood with. There's blood money attached, there's a diya you have to pay if you took a man and tied him down and cut off his lihya. So I find it strange that all of the a'immat al-arba, all of them are in consensus that you can't cut your lihya. And they're talking about madhab. Okay, what about your madhab? But they follow what they want and they leave what they want. Wallahi, I've gone to masjids where the qibla is not even right in the masjid, it's facing other than the qibla, and every imam was of the opinion that one of the conditions of salah, you have to face the qibla. So why don't you face the qibla? Well, this is how our place is, and this is, you can't your old dog new tricks. Ma hakadha ya Abdullah. So that issue really is very clear. The lihya is from the deen. Another proof is that it's a major sin is that the Prophet ﷺ said, Asharatum min al khasa'il. Ashara khasa'il min al fitra. There are 10 things from the fitra. 10 things are from the fitrah, that natural disposition that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created you on. He mentioned leaving the lihya, trimming the beard, gargling the water in your mouth for wudu, using the miswak, and taking the water up your nose and spitting it out. That's fine. Cutting off your hair from under your arm, cleaning between your fingers and your toes in wudu. That's 7. Trimming your nails and your toenails, 8. Taking the hair off of your private part, 9. And the khitan, 10. So this fitrah is wajib to be on this fitrah. So you have to leave your lihya, ya Abdullah. Let us begin, ikhwan. Not to feel that I'm talking about you. You have to look at me right now as not a person who is singling you out. Wallahi, wallahi. And if that was my niyah, Allahu hasibi. Walanatasallit minhu abadah. La. If that was my niyyah, that's not my niyyah. You have to look at me now as a vehicle in which I'm bringing you this truth, this ruling. But in saying that, we have to also make it clear that the Sahabas used to, if they made Hajj or Umrah, it's been authentically reported that Abdullah ibn Umar, that Abu Huraira, that Anas ibn Malik radiallahu ta'ala anhum, if they wanted to make Umrah or Hajj, they would grab their lihya, and that which was hanging out, they would cut that which was hanging out. So you can't take that as proof to say, since they cut that, I can cut this, or I can shave that. لا هذا قياس ما فارق.
That's making qiyas or analogy, that's not permissible. Like saying milk is haram because of khamr. No, it's two different things told. If anyone has anything other than that, we want to hear it, you know, because we can go into the issue of usul al-fiqh, how the order al-amr yafid al-wujub illa an ya'ti sarif yusrifu min al-wujub wal-nahyu yufidu tahrim illa an ya'ti al-insan bi sarifin yusrif hadha al-tahrim ila al-kirahiyya wa hayhat hayhat. So the next question, I think this is going to be the last question, inshallah. Recap the main points of the talk for the last 5 minutes. Jazakumullahu khair. We said that if a person looks at the situation in order to have good character, we see that the Prophet, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, people have good character in one or two ways. The first way is that the man is born with good character, like the Prophet. And the other way is that the people have to work for this good character. And that's the majority of us. So those of us who want to work for this good character, we discuss three things that you can do in order to develop this good character. The first thing that the person does in acquiring this good character is that he has to believe that it can be acquired. And we show how, according to the Quran, the Sunnah, and the rationale, that this understanding, I've been doing this all my life, so I can't change, is rejected in al-Islam. And then the second thing that the person does in order to get good character is that he has to identify and categorize his, classify his bad points. And he does that by three ways we mentioned. By taking the sheikh, keeping in mind what the Prophet used to do with his companions, and what the stories of the shuyukh did in the Quran with the youngsters of the Quran who were with them. Also, we spoke about how the person, number two, has to take a friend, and how we have to take a friend for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what Umar ibn al-Khattab said to Hudhayfa ibn al-Yaman, I was the Prophet naming me of the people from the munafiqeen. And also the last point, point number three, it was that you look and you listen to what your enemies were saying. That was the second way to correct your character, to perfect it. The third way that we mentioned was that you force yourself to do the things that you, against what your character already is, those bad traits. And then after forcing yourself, you suddenly become a person who is doing those things. They become part of your repertoire and the way you are as a Muslim. And we talked about the dual relationship between the heart and the limbs, the effect that the heart has on the limbs and the effect that the limbs have on the heart. And with that, inshallah, we bring this talk to a close. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم ونسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى التوفيق والسداد. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك.